Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
On this week's episode of Braves Country, we focus on the Allman Brothers Band and the Big House Museum in historic Macon, Georgia. In 1969, the Allman Brothers Band, as founders of what became known as Southern Rock, changed the course of popular American music and turned Macon into the recording hotbed of the 70s. The band was formed by brothers Dwayne Allman, Greg Allman, Dickie Betts, Barry Oakley, Butch Trucks, and of course J-Mo, their second drummer. And the Big House Museum is an amazing place to visit. It was the house where members of the band, crew, friends, and families lived until about 1973, and it was the gathering place in those early years when the magic that is the Allman Brothers was just beginning to take shape. And we're here now to discuss the Allman Brothers and the Big House today with the director of the Big House Museum, Mr. Richard Brent. Welcome to the Braves Country
Buddy,
Podcast,
what's up?
Richard.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You brought a very special artifact to talk about and to celebrate the Allman Brothers with us, and this is Dwayne Allman. Les Paul, his Gibson Les Paul gold-topped guitar. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith's.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
You brought a very special artifact to talk about and to celebrate the Allman Brothers with us, and this is Dwayne Allman's Les Paul, his Gibson Les Paul gold-topped guitar.
Yes, it's a 1957 gold-topped Les Paul, better known as the Layla guitar.
Buddy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, I don't think anybody who enjoys good music doesn't understand what that guitar represents.
Yeah, it's a real piece of rock and roll history there, and it's got a whole lot of good mojo inside of it for sure.
I'm surprised, like, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame hadn't come at y'all. I bet they have, actually.
Yeah, we've got a great relationship with them and other museums as well, and you know, we trade artifacts back and forth, loan each other stuff, or we loan them, you know, then I have to fight to get it back. You know, but the gold top was a unique thing. You know, the original owner was a gentleman by the name of Scott Lamar, who found the guitar back in 1977 and kind of resurrected it, if you will. And, you know, and he's just was a great guy, still is. So, yeah, he just really wanted it to be where it deserved to be, and that's the mecca for all Allman Brothers fans, the Big House.
There you go.
And because you brought Dwayne Allman's Gibson Les Paul Gold Top guitar up here, which we really appreciate, we also invited another artist with Macon, Georgia roots. Mr. Adam Smith is here, and Adam is a respected music and documentary photographer. And Adam's going to take some photos here in the studio, and then we got a big surprise for you guys. We're going to go over to the Braves dugout at Truist Park and watch Adam Smith take a historic photograph of Dwayne Allman's 1957 guitar with the Atlanta Braves 2021 World Series trophy, two golden symbols of worldwide success.
Go!
That's going to be fun, right?
Two of my favorite things, the Allman Brothers and the Atlanta Braves.
That's right. And both symbols of the South winning on a world stage. So it's big stuff. Adam, thank you for being here, man.
Appreciate it. I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, man, rocking that Braves hat. I like it. The old 74 throwback. Nice work.
And, you know, we're going to talk with Adam Smith on an upcoming episode and dive into his incredible work. He Tug, he has documented the blues like nobody else, and it's important stuff that he does.
Heck yeah.
But let's talk to these guys first about their sports affiliations before we move on here. I want to know, Richard, I know you told me backstage in Macon that you're a big Braves fan, but you're from Oklahoma originally, right? So
no.
Why are you an OU fan or something like that? What's the deal?
No, I'm from Virginia.
Okay.
But I'm an Oklahoma fan.
Well, okay. Hang on a minute.
How did that work?
I mean, that's like some government math or something. That ain't adding up.
Well, I was a little kid, and somebody, somebody just gave me a jacket. It happened to be an Oklahoma jacket. So, the old school. Kind of satin feel with the white rings on the cuff and snap button.
Awesome.
I wore that thing too. It was just shreds, you know. And so I just kind of inherited the team that way, you know what I mean? And and then I actually started out, I know y'all are going to kill me, but I started out as a St. Louis Cardinals fan back when they had like Jack Clark and Pendleton and Willie McGee.
Ozzie Smith, my gosh.
That
group.
When
Ozzie was turning backflips in the infield.
Yeah.
Look, they won't allow us to kill you, but you know what? I don't think I'd even kill you for that because that was a good – and the Cardinals are legendary.
Yeah, that was a great team. But when I got to college –
You got right with the Lord.
Yes, I did, yeah.
There's this
channel called TBS, man.
That's right.
That's all we got in West Virginia. And
the Superstation.
They fixed you up, didn't
they?
Oh, a whole summer. I did a whole trying to get ahead of my credits a little bit. Did a summer school session, and me and my roommate, his name is Stuart Brown, we're from the same hometown, and we were college roommates, and that's all we did the whole summer, was just watch Braves games.
Now, what do you think about OU joining the SEC? How do you feel about that?
I think it's a great move. I'm a little nervous for them, but I think it's going to help the SEC. I think it's going to bring a new style to. What's kind of as to shake up the SEC tradition a little bit, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Because Oklahoma's more of a with their spread offense, run and gun style stuff. We'll see what happens. But.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting as well. Now, Lincoln Riley, that's a cuss word, ain't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that'd be like swearing to
like
your mama
Satan
or something.
Satan these days.
that's exactly right, man.
I mean, with getting Brent Venables was huge, and obviously he has ties to Oklahoma, so I'm pleased with the hire, and I expect great things from him.
I think y'all stole our offensive coordinator from
this.
Now,
Adam Smith, when you say y'all, I know you're a baseball nut, you love the Bravos, but when you say y'all, you're talking about Ole Miss, isn't that right?
I am. I went to undergrad at Ole Miss, and never looked back. I'm a huge football and baseball fan of theirs. I don't think I miss one of their college baseball games, and we are number two in the nation right now.
That's exactly right, and it's interesting that you bring that up because some dear friends of ours, two families, both have daughters that have gone to celebrate down at the Grove, and we are actually going to take a family road trip in a couple of weeks to down to Oxford and see an Ole Miss baseball game because I'm a huge college baseball fan. I mean, obviously love the Braves. I can watch, it doesn't matter to me, man. I can watch little kids that'll hit the ball, run to third, and love it just as much as I love watching the Braves. I just love baseball. But I'm a Georgia fan through and through, born and raised here, but I cannot wait to go see a game because it's a different experience, they say.
You're going to be in for a serious treat. It is, it's amazing. Beautiful field. The outfield, of course, in right field, you got the student section that does the famous beer showers for the home runs. But in left field.
Can't wait to experience that. That's my favorite.
I have a bunch of friends, and it's almost like a mini Grove. They're cooking out,
grilling
out, tailgating, and you can bring a cooler full of beer just in there.
Or two if you need to.
Yeah, and just as long as there's no glass in the the cooler. But it's an amazing experience.
I love it. Now, are you from Mississippi?
I'm not. I'm actually from Macon, Georgia.
You're from Macon, but all right. Stay right there. There we go. But I see, the passion runs, man, that's serious there when you get it tattooed. You
it's
got the
only tattoo I got.
And it's the state of Mississippi.
Wait, there's a tattoo involved? Look at there. There it is.
State of Mississippi.
Ole Miss.
My wife got a couple of beers in me one night, and we walked across the street and got this tattoo.
So. I love it. I love the dedication. And much like I was talking about the cuss word or at least in regards to Lincoln Riley, I bet I could say, you know, like, I don't know, Mississippi State, and that'd be something you'd be ready to come to fisticuffs.
Yeah, but the weird thing is I married a girl who went to Mississippi State. So,
well, how do y'all do that without killing one another? Well,
I've turned her into kind of an Ole Miss fan.
Okay, now, so. All right. Allegiance must not have been that strong to begin
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Well, you know, Adam, being originally from Macon, well, first of all, let me just cut that part, Tug. Hey, Adam, Tug's son is actually a highly rated one of the top prospects in high school baseball here in Georgia. And I know Ole Miss is a great program, and you're a huge fan. So I'm thinking you need to help us because he's going over there. Maybe we need to meet some coaches.
Talk to old Coach B for him.
Yeah, well, anything you can do, we'd certainly be appreciative, no doubt about it.
Where is he leaning towards?
You know what? This is his junior year, so this is when all of this stuff. But he's been talking to Florida Atlantic and down in Boca Raton, which is where y'all's coach came from, as a matter of fact, with Lane Kiffin. That's his last stop before he went to Ole Miss. And then he got a call from a coach at Towson University, which is outside of Baltimore. D1, smaller D1, but about, I think, 22,000 kids. John Scherholz, the former president of the Atlanta Braves, was a graduate of Towson. So we'll see how it turns out.
You got an exciting couple of years coming up.
We'll see. We'll see, man. We just want him to have fun. And it's funny. He's putting a lot of pressure on himself right now. Like, typically, man, he goes out and just plays ball, and now he's gotten to that point where he knows recruiting is kind of starts this year, and you know, and so he's put a little additional pressure on himself that he shouldn't have, and he's finally kind of working through that early in the season.
If they try to just do their best to just play loose and have fun and try to forget about who's in the stands, But I know that's a lot easier.
That's easier said than done, no doubt about it. But, so he's been pressing a little bit, but hopefully.
But, Adam, I want to make this deal right now. If you can, Adam, make it happen and you can get the Ole Miss guys to sign his son, we're going to get you season tickets to Ole Miss baseball. Let's make the deal.
Something tells me I already has those.
I'll take season tickets to the Braves.
There you go.
I don't know. Okay, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be a recruiting violation. I don't know if we can do all that. But Adam, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Being originally from Macon, are you kind of excited to take this documentary photo of Dwayne Allman's guitar in the Braves 21 World Series trophy?
When we talked about it, I was trying to kind of get my head around it, and then I started thinking about it for a little while, and it's going to be a cool shot.
Yeah.
Definitely the trophy with the guitar, two icons, and it's going to be amazing, and especially we got a little bit of access to the field, which I will have my – that'll be the first time I've had my size 10.5 shoes down on that field.
But it's a good feeling. It's nice to be down there. Anytime you can be, it's nice to be down there.
He's telling us his shoe size. He wants us to throw that in this deal we're making for Ole Miss all of a sudden.
Son, you asking for a pair of cleats? What are you asking for?
He's trying to get a Nike deal.
This ain't my first rodeo.
Seriously, it's like we're working NIL deals in here.
Well, thanks for being here. We're going to let you take some photos while we talk to Richard about the big house and Allman Brothers and all that type of thing. And so go ahead, Tug.
All right. Let's see. Where did you? Okay, here we go. Is it not you there in the beginning?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
So turning to Richard Brent, man, how long have you been with the Big House Museum, and how did you become involved?
Well, it's I refer to myself as the luckiest guy on earth sometimes, and I've been there about 10 years now, and I started there as a volunteer when they first opened. They opened in December of 2009. I got there. I took my first trip to the museum as a visitor in 2010, and I signed up to be a volunteer. Eventually, I got the call, and then, within probably 3 months of volunteering, you know, they offered me a gig, and I said yes, and, you know, thankfully I was able to do so, and you know, I was at a point in my life where I could do that, and so now I'm the director. So I started out as a volunteer, and now I'm the director.
That's the progression you like to see, right there, man.
Yeah, you know, it's a small deal. We only have 3 employees, we rely heavily on our volunteers, our wonderful volunteers, it's a great place. For anybody that's been there, you know, when as soon as you walk in the door or get on the grounds, it's an instant vibe, you know, and it's just a great thing, you know.
What were you doing before you started volunteering and then ultimately became the director of the Big House?
Well, I had a dream of a lifetime. I mean, a job of a lifetime, man. I was a project manager for a construction outfit.
Absolutely, man. I can't imagine wanting to do anything else. It's hard to believe you'd give that up to go be the director.
Yeah, trade in a hard hat for listening to getting paid to listen to music all day and go to concerts and stuff. And you know, and ultimately that's what how Scott and I met, you know. But no, the company I work for, it's kind of a joke, you know, because basically I made potato chips for a living. Our company installed installation lines and packaging equipment for Frito-Lay. So,
okay. All right. Well, yeah. What's the – now that you're in the Big House and now that you're rocking the Allman Brothers Band polo,
always.
I mean, that makes it official right there.
That's it, man.
What is the goal – in your mind, what is the goal for the Big House Museum?
World dominance.
I love that. Look, like, it's almost like college football, man.
Yeah,
world dominance.
Right.
Not, it's not much to ask.
Yeah, no, a historic classic rock band like the Allman Brothers, you know, now we're in this up-and-coming generations that really don't know a lot about music or how they receive their music is different to what
completely.
We're used to, going to stores and buying – you know, vinyl's making a comeback, but you know, when we were growing up, it's completely different.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
So you know that's the real thing is you know just keeping it out there, keeping Dwayne's name and Greg, the whole band, Allman Brothers, everybody involved with it, keeping them relevant and just letting their story shine for generations to come.
So Richard, tell us about this amazing guitar you brought with you today. It's really a sight to see, and I'm so glad Adam's here to take pictures of it. And we'll get all those out for everybody to check out. But tell us about the history of this guitar and what it means.
Oh man, this is just looking at it, it just has its own kind of aura about it. And sometimes when I open the case, I tell people, you know, you remember those old the movie with Harrison Ford in it.
Oh, Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones, yes, yeah. Thank you.
There you go.
It was like an Indiana Jones movie, like you see when they open a chest and there's just this glow. It's kind of
that
with this. But, Dwayne used this guitar. The first time he used it was out at Muscle Shoals on the Boss Gags Loan Me a Dime solo. So,
wow.
If you're familiar with that song.
Of course.
That solo just mesmerizes you. And so this was the first time he used that guitar. And but he would use it on the first two Brothers records, which is, you know, self-titled, then Out of Wild South. And then, of course, he would use it on, as a member of Derek and the Dominoes, he would use it to record that album with Eric Clapton and the guys. And so it's known as the Layla guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Which is unbelievable in and of itself. I mean, because that those guitar riffs from that song are, I mean, not that anything that he touched wasn't legendary, but that's even next level, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's like a worldwide. I mean, I just, when I think of Eric Clapton, that's the first thing I think of is those guitar riffs.
Yeah, sure, man. And, you know, and that album really wasn't happening for Eric, you know, until Dwayne got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And and kind of how that happened was is that. Tom Dowd was the producer, and he was working on Out of Wild South, and he got a call from the record label saying, hey, you know, Eric's put together this new project, needs you down in Miami. And so they pulled Tom to do that, and Dwayne's like, well, look, you know, we've got a gig down there coming up. I'd love to stop by the studio. And Tom said, well, I'm sure it'll be fine. Just call the studio when you get there. And he did, and, Tom Dowd asked Eric, you know, hey, the Allman Brothers in town, you know, Dwayne wants to come by. And he's like, oh, you mean this guy? And he hit the Hey Jude lick, the Wilson Pickett version, which that was Dwayne Allman. And that's really what kickstarted his career. And it's still today Eric Clapton's favorite guitar solo.
That's amazing.
So he played that lick, and they went to the show and kind of surprised the brothers, you know. There's a story where Dwayne's in mid-solo and the whole domino, Eric and the Dominoes had snuck in. They were all sitting down in the front row. Against some hay bales, you know, and Dwayne's in mid-solo, and he looks down, and there's Eric just staring at him, you know, and he just locks up, and, you know, Dickie Betts comes over to see what the problem is, and he sees Eric, and he does the same thing.
You know?
So then they get it together. Then they went back to the studio that night, and they just, you know, they just jammed for the rest of the night.
But yeah. Such a mutual respect, though.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But between just legendary artists that are you know, iconic beyond anything that you can possibly think of today. They just don't make icons like that anymore.
Exactly. You know, I was having a conversation with Charlie Starr a while back. You know, I guess Slash is the only real kind of like guitar hero that right. You could kind of pinpoint at this point. You know, and then there's hundreds, if not, you know, thousands of great players out there, and I'm
sure.
Not saying that, but it's just...
Well, but,
you know,
but
it was
iconic.
Just something, yeah, exactly. You know, like the Keith Richards and
yeah.
The Eric Claptons and the Duane Allmans. You know, it just seemed like that moment in time was like there was just there they were, and you know, and you still have a few, and obviously they're aging, and then some obviously are already gone. But yeah, it's just not a. It's a pretty grim picture for like guitar heroes looking into the future, you know.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting to see who comes along. And you still have people like you know, you got DeMarcus Kings, who I think is wonderful. Younger people like that are coming along, and so we'll see what they do, you know.
We're talking with Richard Brent, the director and curator of the Allman Brothers Big House Museum. Check out thebighousemuseum.com for more information. It's a great place to visit, thebighousemuseum.com. Richard, I know that you take this guitar to certain players that you feel like are world-class players, and you kind of give them the opportunity to play it live in concert at their show, maybe in the encore or something special like that. And I know firsthand that it was a really big deal for Charlie Starr of Blackberry Smoke when you did bring it for him to play one time. I mean, not everybody saw this, but on the bus he was pretty jacked about that. He was excited that he was going to play it, and it was a big moment for the band too. And I just wanted to know, you know, how did you come up with that idea, and who are some of the other guitarists that you've, you know, given the chance to play this guitar?
Well, it's a long list. It kind of get caught up in it after a while. But back to, you know, the gentleman who found the guitar and had it refinished and resurrected, Scott Lamar, when he loaned it to us, he had this idea that you know, he wanted some of his heroes to play the guitar, so kind of got tasked with that, you know, and was able to do it. Like, I know, I remember, like, he wanted Billy Gibbons to play it, he wanted Vince Gill to play it, you know, people like that. And so we were able to make that happen, and then it just kind of turned into a unique way to, okay, you know, how are we gonna keep the museum out in the forefront, in the limelight, you know, however you want to say it. So it just really became a unique way to market the museum, but at the same time, show respect to people that we thought that Duane would appreciate, and certainly may have jammed with, you know, had his life lasted longer than 24 short years, you know. So that's kind of how it all started, you know. But as far as people have played it, I mean, I've taken it to like Chris Stapleton.
Oh, wow.
The guys at Metallica have checked it out. You know, the Blackberry Smoke guys, Marcus King's played it. You know, some of the people in the Greg Allman Band, like Scott Sherrod, people that like that. Of course, Warren Haynes, Derek Trucks.
Yeah.
You know, they've played it a bunch.
And you got it to the folks that the owner wanted. Yes. Billy Gibbons.
Yeah, Billy Gibbons. Yes.
Vince Gill played it, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Vince has played it a couple times.
He's quite a picker.
Yeah, Vince went on record saying it changed his life. And to this day, I mean, he'll about tear up talking about it. I mean, it's just hands down his favorite guitar. And
hey, man, I always wanted to ask you, I was curious, when those people play that guitar and they get off stage, I know they're going to be complimentary of it and everything, but how do they, you ever get any insight on, like, how it plays these days, what it feels like?
Yeah, you know, they'll tell you point blank, it's some of them say it's the greatest guitar they've ever played, some of them
wow.
just tell you, it just consumes you, you know, you get lost in it. Basically, you get to watch some of the greatest musicians on the planet who do what they do nightly, you know, day in and day out, but then all of a sudden they get something like this in their hand, and while they're playing, It just opens up to them, and they remember why they play music again, and they just really just – they become a fan again, you know, and they start playing the licks, and they start playing, and it just really – you know, it just consumes them, you know. So they get lost in the music, and it's a great thing to see. And I've it brings the best out of them.
It's a great way to keep the spirit, the live spirit of the Allman Brothers alive. I'm really glad you do that, man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I want to go back to that Vince Gill story, though, because I've worked country radio for the last 20 years and still do. And Vince Gill being, you know, an icon in country music and has, you know, he's lately been touring with the Eagles. And, I mean, he's wide respect across a swath of different type of artists. He said it changed his life. Did he describe to you why? What was it? How it changed his life? What? Tell me about that, if you can. I don't even know if you can.
Well, I think it's a personal thing with you and the instrument. You know, I don't know if you play or not, but
I do not.
Okay, well, it's you know, you're bonding with it. You know, and it's something special that happens inside. I mean, these, you know, what makes a musician great is that. How they're able to hold a piece of wood in their hand and channel this energy that they're putting it in there, and eventually it comes out through a speaker and an amplifier, but it's all coming out of their fingertips. So, and everybody's different, and so, yeah, for him, you know, and not to mention he probably has the best tone on the planet. You go to a Vince Gill concert, I mean, listen to him play guitar, yeah, the. You know, Phil Bradbury makes the little Walter amps he uses, and Vince just has a magical way that the tone is just incredible.
He can sing pretty well, too.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith's.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
He can sing pretty well, too.
Yeah, he does all right.
He's all right. Yeah, I kid. Yeah. No, he's amazing. You're exactly right.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of like all I can attribute it to. It's just like, you know, how he bonded with the instrument in a special way
that's
that was
cool.
Just very magical and moving to him spiritually.
Yeah. Is there anybody you'd like to see that hasn't played this that you think would be a good fit? John Mayer comes to mind. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but he's kind of one of those guys that I feel like kind of lives through the instrument a little bit.
Yeah, you know, maybe a solo thing in Dead & Company. It's kind of too big of a guitar for that sound.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I know he could do it. Yeah. You know, and O'Teal plays in that band, who was in the Allman Brothers, a bass player.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if they ever wanted to, I'm sure that we wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But you know, to be honest, I'd love to see Billy Strings touch it.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
He's a great player. I mean, he's, you know, what he's doing these days and the style of music he's doing. But yeah, you know.
So you don't really have like a wish list or like a top five that you're trying to get to. You're more like feeling it out as you go, keeping it organic.
It makes sense. When it makes sense.
Yes, that's basically what it boils down to. It makes sense. And then, you know, a long time ago, yeah, I probably did have a wish list, you know, of just, you know, when everything was firing on all cylinders. Because the guitar sold a couple of years ago, so there's a new owner of it. So we don't have the guitar all the time like
Got
we
it.
Used to. So
Got
it's a little
it.
Different now.
Has Luther Dickinson ever put his paws on it?
Oh, yeah. Luther's played it a bunch, yeah. I mean, I'm taking it, you know, the Black Crows have played it. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm leaving out probably 60 people that I've taken this thing to. And it's just, you know, at home, I had a list documented because I'd write it at one point. It was just happening, just coming in a flurry. Mm-hmm. And, or, you know, people would just stop by the museum. You know, a lot of bands, People don't understand how a band's life is out on the road, but you know, the driver can only drive so many hours. So a lot of times, you know, there's a layover, and they lay over in Macon, you know, and the bus driver's sleeping. The guys are bored on a bus if they don't have a hotel room, so they
wander,
venture out. Yeah, so you know, they find a way to the Big House.
Richard Brent is the director and curator of the Allman Brothers Big House Museum, and you can find them on the web at thebighousemuseum.com. Would you explain the story of the Allman Brothers Band for anybody listening who doesn't really understand the entirety, the full scope of what that band is and how important they are?
Yeah, so, you know, the birthday of the Allman Brothers is March 26, 1969. That's the official birthday of the band. And, you know, they're you know, Duane Allman had a vision, and his vision would ultimately become, you know, Southern rock. And all that is just the influence of all genres of music, you know, country, jazz, R&B, traditional blues, and rock and roll, you know. And so they were able to create this new sound, and they really just kind of took the country by storm, you know. It was tough in the beginning, but, you know, they saw things a little bit different, you know. They were a bunch of, you know, long-haired, you know, hippies, and they had a black guy in the band, you know, J-Mo. And so they were, you know, the first interracial rock and roll Southern kind of band there was. And you know, the world saw things differently, but they didn't. And they were trying to change all that because they were just getting lost in this magical music, you know. And so the band formed in Jacksonville, Florida, but Duane was signed to a recording contract while being a session player in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And so once he had the band together, that's how they ended up in Macon. And they loved Macon so much, they ended up just referring to Macon as their home. And it was tough in the early days for them. You know, they were the first long hairs in Macon. They caught a lot of flack for that, and so they'd go hide out in a cemetery, you know, where they could catch, you know, find peace. And they would write songs in Rose Hill Cemetery, you know, and that's the tie-in there, you know. And, you know, but they were just able to create this magical music and change the world with it. And all the while they were you know, changing society and just saying, you know, just, you know, we could be better, you know.
Yeah, and they proved it.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why the Big House is there, you know, exist. And you know, even though the band is no longer touring, there's only two original members left, which is J-Mo and Dickie Betts. All the other guys have passed on, but the legacy is alive and strong, and that's what the Big House does, is just keeps it going, or as we like to say, the road goes on forever. So,
and Richard Brent, I know that the Allman Brothers were, of course, the principal architects of what we know as Southern rock now, but they incorporated elements of blues, jazz, and country music, and even have like a jam band style thing now. Now they did, and a lot of people know about the blues influences, but what were some of the major jazz and country influences that the Allman Brothers had?
J-Mo, you know, J-Mo was the major jazz influence, and he turned the whole band on to jazz, and that just, Duane Allman just kind of started wrapping his brain around it, changed his life in a lot of ways. But certainly Coltrane and Miles Davis were huge influences on the guys, especially Duane. I think with Coltrane, is All My Favorite Things was one of his favorites, along with Miles Davis's All Blues. Now, as far as the country, you know, Dickie Betts was the country influence there. He brought that influence into the band, but you know, later on they certainly became like Charlie Daniels was a huge mentor to the guys, even, you know, and people like that, you know, Billy Joe Shaver, you know, guys like that were you know, I guess
influences,
yeah, and to agree. So yeah. You know, but they were just
Waylon Willie. Did they work in that? Any Johnny Cash work in there at all?
You know, I'm sure they did, but you know, you don't really hear the guys talk about it that much. Yeah. Like I said, you know, Dickie was the main one. It's kind of why, you know, thinking about how country music, where country music went from and what it became, because when the Brothers and Sisters album came out, it was just kind of like, it was like the world just kind of lined up to where everything was, you know, the Allman Brothers didn't set out to make a country record.
Of course.
You know, we don't consider it a country record. But
it's an Allman Brothers record.
Right, but, it's a blues record, but then, but here's Ramblin' Man on that record. You know, where does Ramblin' Man come from? And all of a sudden, it's the number two song in all of America, but it's today highly regarded as a country song.
Yeah.
To some degree, you could call Midnight Rider a country song.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Absolutely.
They kind of took all the Southern musics and put them together, and they put all the Southern people together, and they just kind of made this quilt,
right,
if you will, and it's really a beautiful thing.
And I will say that at Fillmore East, that's what set the band's career on fire and put them on top of the world. But, that today is still regarded as the greatest live record ever made. So really stands the test of time. So if anyone's never listening, never heard it, Allman Brothers Band at Fillmore East, do yourselves a favor.
Go get it. Go listen to it wherever you,
however, stream it, whatever
it takes. No, I'm with you. So we're talking about the Les Paul, which is so important to the museum, and when it's there. What are some of the other really interesting artifacts that you've got at the Big House Museum?
Oh, everything, man. We've got everything from amplifiers to clothing to contracts, receipts, handwritten letters. Just personal items, so the whole museum, it's a 6,000 square foot Tudor style mansion. And so every room is just loaded down with memorabilia. And the great part about the museum is downstairs, it's like wall to wall memorabilia. But when you get upstairs, the bedrooms are decorated to how, as original as possible, but set up how they were when each person, because Greg and Dwayne lived in the house for the first 4 or 5 months, and then, of course, the Oakleys lived there, too. It was kind of always the Oakley house. Now, they only rented the house, but Linda Oakley, wife of Barry the bassist, she's the one who found the house and rented it and called it the Big House because it was just simply the largest house she'd ever seen. And
right.
So, but, yeah, it's great. So, you're kind of getting the vibe of all the memorabilia and stuff, but then once you get upstairs, you kind of get the vibe of it being a home, too.
Right. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a great setup.
You've really preserved history there, and I know that I heard that Kirk West, the Allman Brothers' legendary road manager, lived in the Big House for quite a few years, and that he even let Warren Haynes, who was with the Allman Brothers, mm-hmm. of course, when he started Government Mule, that Haynes and the guys stayed there or lived there really when they were just getting started in the 90s. Is that true?
That is. That's very true. So Haynes. Kirk and his wife Kirsten purchased the Big House in 1992 or 93, and they lived there. He lived there while working for the Allman Brothers Band. He first photographed them in 1974, hit it off with them, stayed in touch, and then when the Dreams box set came out in 89, that's kind of got the boys back together, and they took one out on the road with it, and so Kirk went along and but he ended up buying the Big House, and and that's kind of what planted the seed for it to be a museum, is that while working for the band, he was collecting memorabilia out on the road from fans or whomever, and just people would gift him stuff, and he would set it all up in the front room of the house, and fans would come by and start ringing the doorbell wanting to just talk about the stuff, and that's what planted the seed for the museum. But yes. When Warren Haynes and Alan Woody wanted to take a break from the Allman Brothers, they wanted to do something more in the style of a classic rock, kind of Led Zeppelin feel, something a little bit heavier than what the Allman Brothers were doing. They came to Macon, lived at the Big House with Kirk for the first 10 days, wrote a batch of songs. Haynes slept in Dwayne's bedroom. And they started gigging right downtown at Liz Reed's Music Hall, and then Government Mule was off and running.
And I know Kirk West, you mentioned his photography work, and I know Adam's a fan of his. He has a gallery down there in Macon. When people go to visit Macon, they come to the Big House Museum. They can also go over to Gallery West, right? Gallery,
that's correct.
And it's GalleryWestMacon.com if you want to check his work out. It's good stuff, isn't it?
Oh, it's real nice. Kirk and I have been friends for years on end, and Kirk, I guess it's been 5-6 years or more, called me, and we had a show together down there during one of the first Fridays. So Kirk and I have known each other for years on end and have a big mutual respect for each other's work.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's a great guy if you get a chance to meet him. And
he shot everybody, man. It's It's pretty, you know. I look at him and just say, "I hate you." When you look at some of the shots and what he did, dude,
he's seen it all. Hey, another member of the Allman Brothers, Mr. Truck's son, Derek Trucks. I know he's probably the biggest Braves fan in the Allman Brothers family. Isn't that right?
That is very correct. Yes.
Does he have a collection? Is he a collector of memorabilia of the Braves, or is he? What tell us about his fandom of the Bravos?
Oh, he's a huge fan. I mean, you can see clips of him on YouTube at, you know, the age of 10 on stage with the band, and he's wearing his Atlanta Braves hat. So you can
raise him up, right? That's what you got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the good Lord calls you to do.
That's right. So his whole life, he's you know, been a Braves fan, and you know, I don't know what kind of, you know, collection he's got memorabilia wise, but I'm sure he has plenty, and I'm sure he's been given, you know, gifted a lot of stuff throughout the years out on the road, and especially when they make stops here in Atlanta.
Yeah, we got to talk to Derek Trucks and see if we can get him to come in on the show and.
Well, the Wheels of Souls tour will be rolling through. They got two nights in Atlanta coming up here pretty soon.
So, all right. Well, maybe bring them up here for us.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. We're talking with Richard Brent. He's the director and curator of the Allman Brothers Big House Museum on the web at thebighousemuseum.com. You knew Greg Allman personally, which is, I think a lot of people would, you know, be delighted to be able to say that.
Yeah.
What is it about Greg that you think people should know just as a person, not even the musician, just the guy?
Greg was a sweetheart, man, but he was extremely funny. Really low key. He didn't really have a loud voice, speaking voice.
Right.
You know, so you had to listen closely. But, I mean, he was absolutely hilarious.
Awesome.
He would crack you up with the things he'd say.
And you had to be paying attention to get it, too, right? He would just slip it in. You wouldn't even know it was coming.
And it was hard for me because, you know, I've been around a lot of amplifiers and speakers all the time. And so there's a whole lot of or if I'm in a restaurant environment, somebody's talking, I have to kind of turn my ear a certain way sometimes just to, you know, part of having the casualty of having fun, I guess. But
I reckon so.
But no, he was extremely hilarious, almost to the point borderline comedian.
Doing stand up sessions out in the bus and stuff, you know? He's just getting himself ready. Which is so awesome. And I think that's probably a side that most people wouldn't go, I bet he's really funny.
But I'll tell you, I mean, he would show up if he had too much time on his hands and he'd sit at home like more than 2 weeks, like he'd have to do something. And so I know three times he drove from Richmond Hills, outside of Savannah, he drove to Macon and just walked in the museum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no heads up, no nothing.
And just how are y'all doing? How's your mom and
dad? The third time it happened, I was like, "Hey, bro, like, can we get a phone call next time?" Yeah. just a 5 minute heads up.
Yeah, that way we can prepare and you know, folks, you know, probably have meltdowns, you know, like that happens. Yeah. Well, hang on a minute. Let me get pictures. Let me get autographs. You know, all that sort of stuff.
And I guess now that Greg Allman's passed away, the band's never going to tour again, of course, and. It takes a whole new meaning for the music. Like, you have a new role now. You are like the holder of the flame in a way. Like, you've got to keep. You're where people, if they want to experience the Allman Brothers, they need to come to Macon, Georgia, and visit you at the Big House.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and that was a lot of people were worried about the museum when the band stopped. But you know, I always told them it was quite the opposite. I said that's when the museum's going to thrive, and that's. It's the way it should be.
Oh, it's like Graceland, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're just better, you know.
That's right. You got to convince me.
Certainly, like, if you go to a Tedeschi Trucks Band show or a Warren Haynes solo or Government Mule show, you know, those guys always give a nod to the band. I promise you there'll be an Allman Brothers song in their set list every night. And then just, you know, March 10th of 2020 was the ultimate tribute, you know, what was called the Brothers. It was the remaining members of the band along with J-Mo, and it had you know, obviously Derek Trucks and Warren and Keonis and Dwayne Trucks, and then there was this guy Reese Winans, who a lot of people might not be familiar with, but Reese Winans was a part of the original jam that took place in Jacksonville in 1969. Now, Reese would go on to play with Stevie Ray Vaughan at Double Trouble, got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Seems like he did all right.
Yeah, and he still plays with Joe Bonamassa today.
Yeah.
But they put together, you know, a one-time show called The Brothers. We sold out Madison Square Garden, and this was literally the day before COVID hit. And so to sell out Madison Square Garden, and it was like the ultimate send-off, you know, for that band, was pretty incredible. You know, I just hated that I know a lot of people probably got sick in the room that night, you know, and I hope everybody, you know, came out of it okay. But, you know, then the next day the world literally stopped. So for 2 years of doing nothing, at least I had that memory of just, and it was truly the greatest show I ever saw live. I mean, it was, they just came out and crushed it all night long.
Iconic artists, iconic music, iconic venue. I mean, it's like a rock and roll royalty written all over it.
Yep.
So. And now you've been doing some exhibits on the road. I know you took the Spirit of the South tour and took an exhibit out with those guys. Tell us about that tour. How did that go? Who was on it, and what did you do for them?
That was, you know, Blackberry Smoke was the headliner. They had the Almond Best Band and the Wild Feathers. And, you know, Blackberry, they were kind enough to invite us along. So I had these road cases made up, and my role was at every venue I would go out and set the road cases up on the concourses and just basically set up a traveling museum. And so I just got to sit up there and talk to people, the fans, all night long, and talk about the museum or talk about the band or anything they wanted to talk about, really. And, you know, it worked out really well. We were, you know, glad we were able to do that, and hopefully we'll get to do it again at some point.
And who, tell us about the Almond Betts band. Who's in that band?
Well, you got some of the offspring from the original band. So you have Devin Almond, who was Greg's son, and then Dwayne Betts, who was Dickie's son. And then you had Barry Oakley Jr. on bass. And so, yeah, those guys, man, it was a great band of musicians, man. John Guinea on B3 and Johnny Stachler, another guitarist that played slide. But just an amazing band. I know they're getting ready to kind of take a break so they can do their own thing now for a little bit, but they'll be getting back together, you know. I think in December, I'm just taking a guess at it here, but they've been doing what they call the Almond Betts Revival Shows, and it's kind of a celebration of, you know, it happens on Greg's birthday, which is December 8th. It's kind of when it kicks off. And this year they had like 19 shows booked, which was – huge, which started out as one show, the next year was three shows, and then it's 19 shows. So it's a lot of interest in it. So they'll probably get together in December and do the Almond Betts thing again.
And that's one of those things that everybody wants to see. Everybody wanted to see the Beatles kids reform and play. Same with so many other bands. And the fact that they did that is, that's super cool, because that's something that I think people genuinely like and want to see. And there's a desire for it, you know, and there's a need for it, and there's a hole for it, and clearly they've been very successful doing it just by giving people what they want.
That's right.
Amazing.
And they invite special guests out as kind of surprises along with it, that kind of makes it a little more, you know, that much more exciting.
That's so
and,
cool.
But I'll tell you, Dwayne Betts, so, I mean, not calling him out over the others, but Dwayne Betts, you know, he's a spitting image of his dad. It's scary, to be honest. I mean, you could take a 23-year-old Dickie Betts and put it against Dwayne now, and they could be darn near twins. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, it's the family goes on forever and the road goes on forever. And I wondered, are there any other interesting music events or tours coming up for you in the Big House Museum in the near future that you can tell us about? Or
we're just starting to kind of get things going here. You know, now it kind of looks like I know COVID, the pandemic's not over, but it certainly.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
I'm give out with it.
It's got the feel that people are ready to move on with it. So we actually have our first show in the yard for the first time in 2 years coming up on Friday with a local band called Parts and Labor that are real popular. And so we're excited about that. And, we'll just kind of take it from there. You know, we started, you know, some projects during COVID. We acquired some more properties next to the museum. So we're really concentrating on expanding our blueprint. you know, create a better environment for show situations or just event, you know, any kind of event, whether it's a wedding or whatever. So we do a lot of stuff out in the yard, and so we're, you know, we're focused in on that and getting that wrapped up, and so yeah, we'll just see what happens.
Director and curator of the Allman Brothers Big House Museum. You can find them online at thebighousemuseum.com, and we're talking with Richard Brent. So if folks were to come down to the museum and maybe even come to one of the live shows that you're talking about, what would be some of the restaurants in Macon that they should eat, that the Allman Brothers were known to eat in, and some of the favorite spots that are there in Allman?
There's only one, man, H&H. It's a famous old meat and threes right down the street from the big house. But now downtown Macon is really thriving, and there's a lot of great restaurants and breweries and all kinds of cool places downtown to eat at. But for sure, you got to hit the H&H, get some of that good fried chicken, collard greens, some mac and cheese.
Son, making me hungry right now.
Cornbread.
Dude, ain't nothing. You just absolutely listed my favorite meal on planet Earth right there. That sounds like Dalton, Georgia to me.
That's
where I was born and raised.
And they got hot sauce, too.
Yes, sir, which makes it that much better. Goodness gracious. It is so awesome that you took the time to come in here to the Braves Radio Network and the Braves Country Podcast, and obviously bring in a historical guitarist, beautiful to see. So, you know, we'll go make some more history, watch Adam Smith take some photographs of Dwayne Allman's guitar with the Braves. 2021 World Series trophy. Thanks so much, Brent, director of the Allman Brothers Museum at the Big House. Again, it is thebighousemuseum.com.
And, of course, thanks again to Adam Smith, music and documentary photographer, and his website is adamsmithphotography.com. So thanks for being here, guys.
Thank
appreciate you coming
into
Braves Country.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my gosh.
And let's go document some Southern history.
Absolutely.
Man, I'm excited for this.
Hang on, man. I'm going to flip on my little Apple Music and knock out some Allman Brothers as we walk.
That's a great idea. All right.
Go!
Thanks, guys.
Thank y'all.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith's.
The Braves Country Podcast supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Men. Check out thewarrioralliance.com and shepherdsmen.com for more info, resources, and how to get involved. That's thewarrioralliance.com and theshepherdsmen.com. The Braves Country Podcast would like to thank all of our veterans.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.